We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
I feel like it results in a trade. I mean, now we've kind of reached the point that we got the report now. It's like, yeah, the Lakers are kind of looking for expiring deals, nothing beyond this year. If they were to trade LeBron, it's kind of like, oh, yeah, LeBron's not asking for a trade, but we keep getting those kind of reports now.
You've got a total $53 million in expiring contracts.
Rich Paul already told us four teams called on him, right?
Yeah, four teams called on them as a way for them to acquire LeBron James, not as a way for the Lakers to go, oh, we'll do that.
Well, I mean, there are four teams called, so I figure there's teams out there. Yeah, we can make that up.
Oh, there's no question that there's teams out there, but are any of those four teams title contenders if they trade $53 million or whatever the number has to be in expiring contracts to acquire LeBron James? I don't know how many years Karl Anthony Towns has left, but that's the one I keep pointing to. If you want to potentially win a championship, trade Karl Anthony Towns. Okay, you take Karl Anthony Towns off of the New York Knicks. They're not the Los Angeles Lakers. They're not. And Cat's got 53 this year, 57, and a $61 million player option. So that doesn't work. The Los Angeles Lakers are looking for expiring contracts that are going to have to approach $50+ million.
I think I saw a tweet just going off of that where it's only a couple of teams can offer exactly what the Lakers want as far as money to match and expiring deals, like the Miami Heat and someone else.
And the question, but the other question is, does that match what LeBron James wants? And I don't think that it does. And that's why I go, what's the end game here? I don't think it does result in a trade.
So what are we doing? Contract extension?
We're just sitting here with our feelings hurt.
Well, I mean, are we waiting for, is LeBron waiting for a contract extension?
Nope.
Is he a free agent next year then?
Honestly, I always thought LeBron would retire after this year. This was the year I thought LeBron James would retire. He's played a year with Bronny. Maybe he plays another year with him. Maybe you'll get a better feel for what type of player Bronny is and what his sustainability will be in the NBA. He's had a nice little summer league so far. Maybe that'll just be the end. I don't know how real the idea of playing with Bryce is. I know that's not super far away. I don't know if he wants to play with, both of his sons in the league. That absolutely could be a thing.
Well, do you think we'll know when his last year is coming up, ahead of time?
Absolutely.
So I'd imagine it's not this year then. So they've got 2 years at least.
Well, it's July. I mean,
But that'd be pretty shocking if we went through all this little trade rumors, saga, whatever you want to call it, and then it comes out LeBron James will retire at the end of the year. That'd be pretty wild.
You think so?
I think so. So, I think LeBron probably wanted to go a lot cleaner.
Yeah. Maybe.
Because then it turns into, are the Lakers forced? Is he kind of forced into retirement with the Lakers and stuff like that? He was unhappy, blah, blah, blah. Is LeBron just leaving because he's done with the Lakers?
Well, he's not forced into anything. What he could ultimately do if he wanted is play the year out at $53 million and then sign wherever he wants to for whatever he wants to next year.
Yeah, but I mean,
if he wants to retire in Cleveland, he can take what will probably amount to a league minimum contract or something close to it to play his final year and do the retirement tour with the Cleveland Cavaliers instead of the Los Angeles Lakers.
I mean, if you were to announce it I'm retiring after the season with the Lakers or whatever. like after all this trade stuff, like the narrative.
No, I hear you. Yeah, no. I get your point. Oh, yeah, no. I get your idea that it's not
like that's why
clean.
You probably wouldn't want to.
Yeah, it's not clean. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Obviously, the end is near. But at 24, 8-8, like if his body still feels like he can play, you know, he's got one son in the league. He's got another one approaching him. His family essentially boils down to his daughter and his wife. They have to, you know, play a role in this or have a say in this. And I know the video, I'm sure not coincidentally, was leaked that, yeah, Savannah wants me to retire soon. And, you know, everyone believes LeBron James is strategic and that was put out there. But I also think he's right. I'm sure Savannah wants him to retire. I'm sure Savannah would rather watch her son or sons play basketball than continuing to watch her husband go through all of this. But it's not clean right now. And I don't know, and that's why I go back to, I don't know what the end game in all of this is. If it's a trade, great. To who? Because everybody has objectives. The Los Angeles Lakers have an objective. LeBron James has an objective. Can those two things align? The Lakers want expiring contracts. They want money free. They want to be able to hit free agency, hit the trade market, and find Luka Doncic's future running mate. Understood. LeBron James wants to play for a team that has the opportunity to win a title. Rich Paul said as much. Nope. Don't believe it's a coincidence that LeBron James was wearing a coming home hat that happened to promote. I think the hat was promoting a podcast, a show, of something. It was promoting something. But LeBron's not stupid. He knows what people are going to think with that. Both things can be true. He's promoting his guy's business. He's sending a message. He's at the Cavs practice facility. You don't think anyone was like, hey, King, what's it look like? We get this done? What do we got to do? You have to negotiate with LeBron James just as much as you do Rob Pelinka. Rob Pelinka and General Manager B don't have the final say. LeBron James does. Everybody can say no along the way, but no one can say yes until LeBron does. And LeBron has the ability to look at a potential deal, and we'll just stick with this Cavs-Lakers thing, to say, no, I don't want him traded. It has to be someone else. I want to play with him. Here's why it's beneficial for our team. Here's why it's beneficial for us to potentially win a championship. You're going to have to find the salary to make up from someone else to put into that trade. And if that's a deal breaker for the Los Angeles Lakers, then this has to be a deal breaker. LeBron has just as much say as the other two guys do. Which is why I go back to that original question. What is the end game when everyone's feelings seem to be hurt? LeBron's, Rich's, maybe the Lakers aren't. The Lakers' feelings probably aren't hurt. They're like, hey, what's good? I don't care. Your contract expires next year. Doesn't matter. If we can work out a trade for you that puts us in position to do the things we want to do, we're going to do it. If not, $53 million falls off our books next year, and our objective is going to wind up getting met anyways. Let's see what TC talking about here on the Elk Grove Kia Talk Line, 916-909-1320. TC, what's good?
Yes, sir. D-Lo, what's up with my two? Hey, man, Jesse and D-Lo, what's up with my two brothers, man? Just because Kenny out.
We good, baby. What's happening?
Hey, so listen, I want to get in on a LeBron a little bit, D-Lo, because I know you're busy. Hey, bro, so it's like dudes running everything, bro. I'm cool on all that. It seemed like we've been in over backwards for LeBron. What does LeBron want to do? Because I had a call like this before when the whole LeBron situation was coming up. I'm cool on all that, bro. If I'm a team, I'm making a move that benefits my team. I'm not asking LeBron about nothing.
Hold on, TC.
Hold on, TC.
TC, you don't have to. But here's a problem with you not asking LeBron. Is LeBron has a no-trade clause. You don't have a choice.
I get it. But it just seemed like the conversation is like we're just bending over backwards. Like we got to run everything through LeBron and we got to like basically kiss his ass, bro. And I'm cool on all that.
It's not bending over backwards for LeBron James. It's honoring a contract that you signed. We have a no trade clause here, which means any deal I orchestrate with the Cleveland Cavaliers or the Sacramento Kings or the Oklahoma City Thunder, it's predicated on LeBron James saying yes. You, as the Los Angeles Lakers, agreed to that. LeBron James and Clutch Sports agreed to that. It's not kissing his ass. It's not bending over backwards. It's an agreement that was put in place that you have to navigate.
I get it from that point. I'm just not with the whole, like, kissing his toe feet and all that, bro. But I get the no trade clause.
His toe feet. All right. I appreciate you, TC. It's all love, baby.
You said toe feet?
He did say toe feet.
Is that a thing?
I don't know. It's a TC thing. I don't know.
I've never.
Tofi.
I'm going to look that up on the work computer.
Do it. Maybe it's an Urban Dictionary thing I miss. Every once in a while, I have to look up something in the Urban Dictionary. Because
I looked up toe feet
yep.
on Google when I got Morton's toe.
You got what?
Morton's toe.
Morton's?
I don't know what Morton's toe is, but let me click on that.
Well, is that the restaurant? Because that would explain a lot.
I've
been trying to tell y'all.
I believe it's when your middle toe is longer than your big toe.
What?
Or longer than the second one. It says Morton's toe is also known as Greek toe, is the condition of having a first metatarsal bone that is shorter than the second metatarsal. See diagram. It's got a person's foot up there.
Okay.
Shout out Wikipedia.
Well, shout out Wikipedia. Shout out to LeBron James also. He's dealing with all of this Lakers drama. I guess it's drama. I don't know. Rich Paul said he told him to go enjoy the summer.
I wouldn't be shocked if LeBron got a contract extension. It's like, oh, yeah, LeBron's now the highest paid player in the NBA. It's like, all right, now we can all go home now. Maybe that's what this is.
I'd be stunned. I don't know that he can
get... So then do you think he's just out of L.A. after this year, no matter what?
He can't get... I don't think he can get to the highest paid player in the NBA.
I gotcha.
I don't think so. Well, no, maybe he could because it's Steph right now, right? At 55? Yeah, maybe he could for a season. Yeah, maybe he could. And maybe that is what this is about. I don't know. I think Steph is at 55. LeBron is at 53. Maybe that's what it boils down to. I don't know. All of this coming on the heels of Drake covering up his LeBron James tattoo.
Yeah, relax, man.
The funny thing is Drake covered up his LeBron James tattoo with an SGA tattoo. All right. There's a lot I could do with that. I'm just not. I'm a hater. Y'all like, look, I don't pretend to be impartial like Kenny does. I don't like Drake. That's funny behavior though. That's it. LeBron ain't even do nothing except go. I guess you're not allowed to be at the show. I guess that's what this boils down to. Because he wasn't in the Not Like Us video. He certainly wasn't on stage with Russ and DeMar and all of those guys.
Doesn't make it.
But I just guess the fact that he was at the show was a problem.
I'll play KC in this part today. Does it make a difference if Kendrick made some accusations telling you to keep your children away and blah, 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 or something like that? And nah, now LeBron funny. Is still dancing with him after.
But he wasn't dancing with him. He was
just at the concert, you know, yeah.
He was in the concert. Let's not forget either. LeBron once tweeted, hey, Kendrick, I need some new music or can I get a new album or something like that? And Kendrick dropped that untitled mixtape. So let's not pretend like LeBron and Kendrick don't have history, too.
It's true.
But I'm glad he got his SGA tattoo, man. Good for Jersey. Cole Kushner, host of the Dissect Podcast, this is a perfect segue right here, joins us next. I'm really excited for this. Cole Kushner built this Dissect Podcast here in Sacramento. He lives in Sacramento. He's a Sacramento resident, and he is a Sacramento Kings fan. So he lives with all of the heartache we do. But, man, he hosts an absolutely fantastic podcast. Can't wait to talk to Cole next here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently with offline maps and on-trail navigation. Download the free app today.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
All right, man. Let's jump right into this. Let's welcome in Cole Cushion, the host of the Dissect podcast. Cole, first of all, thanks for joining us. Second of all, I've been fanboying for the last hour and 15 minutes or so. I'm a huge fan of the Dissect podcast, a huge fan of your work. And I've told everyone, like, you live in Sacramento. You're a Sacramento guy. You're a Sacramento Kings fan. And you live through all of this heartache with us year after year after year. You're just like us.
Exactly, man. It's a rough time right now. As you guys have been talking about, but yep, I've been through the ups and downs, and I'll always be a Kings fan. It's part of the city. It's the heart of the city. So, but it's very tough sometimes.
Oh, are you one of those guys who's like optimistic? Like, are you like, man, I like the way these rookies are playing. I like Doug Christie. Are you optimistic headed into the year? Usually, are you just like, oh man?
I mean, I wish I could say yes this year, but I'm just, the hangover of the Beam team is just still kind of umbrellaing over all of this. And as much as I like the young guys, and as much as I would actually like us to just tear it down and just root for these young guys and do the whole rebuild thing, it just doesn't seem like that's in the cards, or not, at least not yet. And so I don't know, just the cast of characters that we have, I love all individually, but I mean, it's not a hot take, just as an ensemble, they just have some questions. And so we'll see how it plays out. I'm sure I'll buy in, and once I get to the arena, and I'll convince myself, as we do as Kings fans, that this is going to be great. And but you know, I don't know. I'm still just disappointed. You know, a couple of years back, I just think of some of the greatest memories I have as a Sacramento native, coming just 2 years ago, and just seeing everything play out. I'm just like, what? So it's like, was that a fever dream? Like, what actually happened? Like, yeah. How did we get here?
But, and it all ended so quick. Let's talk about the podcast, man. The Dissect podcast. You mentioned you just dropped the last episode of what I think is it your 15th season?
It's the 13th full season, but I also have mini seasons. So I don't know, you know what, yeah, 13 is the official number, but yeah. The last episode came out today on Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers by Kendrick Lamar.
Yeah. Which is, I'm so anxious to talk about that album, 'cause it is, it's one of Kendrick Lamar's most unique albums. It is an incredibly emotional album, and you wrapped up with Mir. Can you tell me, like, what is your process? because it is so incredibly detailed. And Mother I Sober is like, as soon as you said, yo, we're doing Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers, it was like, great. Get me to week 15, 16, whatever it is, because yeah. I need to hear a breakdown of this song. What is your process for breaking down these albums the way that you do?
Well, it kind of stems from my time at Sac State. Actually, I studied composition and music theory at the Sac State music program, which is really great. It's pretty acclaimed as a state school. It's very well known, and so I kind of fell in love with the analytical process there. Before I went to formally study music at Sac State, I was a self-taught musician and wrote music myself. But that's where I really learned music theory. It's also where I learned to write essays on, you know, when you study music at college, it's typically classical music. So I was writing and researching on Beethoven or Shostakovich or name your composer. And I really fell in love with that process because not only would it enrich my connection to the music, sometimes I would actually, you know, for a piece of music that I wasn't quite into just off first blush, like I would do research around it and then contextualize it with what was happening musically at the time, what was happening like historically, socially at the time. I really became fascinated with the way that contextualizing a piece of music could actually change your relationship to it. And so one of the downsides of studying music at a college is that you don't actually talk about modern music, which I always thought was pretty odd. And so, when I graduated, I essentially just took the same approach that I used to take at college, studying, let's say, Beethoven, and applied those same skills to Kendrick Lamar. So there's like the nitty gritty of just sitting down with the lyrics and doing your research on watching literally every interview, you know, thinking about this music, constantly studying it formally, like just pulling up the lyrics, but also like the music, everything like that. So there is like that there's a lot of kind of grunt work that goes into it. But I would say like just the approach to, a Kendrick Lamar, type of artist, treating it with the same reverence that we treat these kind of, the Beethovens of the world. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of what I do is essentially just giving that same kind of respect and regard to artists that we typically don't give that kind of respect to, and like taking them seriously. And I think a lot of my approach is just like philosophically, that's what kind of drives me and informs everything that I do.
I think that's one of the really cool things that you do, because it's not just breaking down like the lyrics of a song and the meaning of a song and tracking back to something an artist may have said or in an interview or a magazine or whatever it may be. You'll take a beat and you'll recreate the beat, just like, oh yeah, there's this sinister piano sound that you might not be able to hear, under all of the different things. And then you strip all that stuff out and you play it by itself. And it's like, oh my God, I don't even think I noticed that before. And then all of a sudden you start listening to the record and you hear that piece of music, like the actual music that you pulled out of it. And all, like, it just highlights the song even more.
Yeah. I mean, you forget that these guys take years and girls take years to write this music. And these nuances, these details are the kinds of things like people like me obsess over as a musician. I know, like, I've made music, I've created those layers. And it's like, these people put so much thought and effort into these compositions that sometimes we kind of just take for granted, just as like a cool vibe, which is fine. Like, music is visceral first and kind of intellectually satisfying second in my book. But what I love about pulling those details out is that it can enrich your connection. It can enrich your experience of the song, knowing that, hey, there's this like cool detail. If you really listen to it, you'll hear this detail. And a lot of times those details will relate somehow to the song or the theme of the song. And so it just deepens your connection. And that's kind of exactly why I do the show, because, you know, for instance, Mr. Morale, I love that album, but mm-hmm. now having studied it for 6 months and wrote over 100,000 words on it, I have a deep connection to that album now. And it is simply done through giving it my full attention in a way that I think all great art will always give back to you if it gives you, if you give it your attention.
I feel like this would be stating the obvious. You're obviously a huge Kendrick Lamar fan.
Oh yeah. I think he's the most important artist in our lifetime.
And why do you think that?
I mean, there's a number of layers to it. I would say I'm most impressed with him conceptually, the way that he is able to craft his albums. Each album has a different concept, and he always delivers on the concept, and the concept always relates to a theme. So, for instance, Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers, that people don't know, is a double disc album technically, and each song or each side of the album, each disc has 9 songs, and the last song is Mirror. And if you place a mirror in the literal middle of the two discs, the two sides of the album, both 9 songs, reflect each other. There's connections between each of the songs on both discs. And that's something cool you can say. That's like a, you know, kind of a gimmick, but it symbolically, it relates to the entire theme and meaning of the album, which is self-reflection, introspection, looking at yourself in the mirror, learning not to judge others. And so I say that to say, like, that is one small detail that shows you the kind of concepts that he's working with. And within those concepts, what he has to say, I think, is incredibly important. I think his story represents he's the voice of the voiceless for a lot of people, I think, as is hip hop in general. And just what he's able to communicate about his experience, I think, is very important. It's often not spoken. And I mean, I can turn this into a 50-minute podcast just on that one question, so I'll stop there. But there's just a number of reasons. Then you get to him as a performer. You see that at the Super Bowl or his recent tour, like, mm-hmm. he checks just every single box. But I think what he has to say and the way he's able to communicate it is what makes him, I think, our greatest living artist that we have today.
And you've done your very first season was on To Pimp a Butterfly. That's obviously where I was introduced to you. It was actually you had just started My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy when someone was like, hey, you've got to check out this Dissect podcast. And being a Kendrick Lamar fan, it was like this breakdown of To Pimp a Butterfly was of just incredible. You did a season on Damn, and of course you just wrapped up Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers. The emotion that comes from that album, you talked about what a classic album Mr. Morale is, but we've always talked about on this show what a difficult album it is, because it's, you almost have to treat Mr. Morale like a book, like, because you're not going to party to it, you're not really going to ride around town bumping We Cry Together. Like, it's something you're going to listen. You're going to watch it, like, you're going to listen to it like it's a movie. You're going to let it play out like cinema. And it culminates with Mother I Sober, which got the very rare 2-episode breakdown. And it even draws back to subjects he talked about on To Pimp a Butterfly and previous albums. And it really feels like it ties something together. Something that I missed listening to the album. And it just absolutely blew my mind when you said it, because it was obvious, but I just missed it, is that Whitney, his longtime partner, had disappeared from the album and didn't come back until that just emotional dumping, in which I think Kendrick has acknowledged that was the last time he cried, was when he did that record. I thought that was such like an incredible detail, that even though there was one song after it, which that episode dropped today, that brought the entire album full circle to me.
Yeah, that's a detail I didn't discover until really like midway through the season. And that this is again kind of the things that you unearth when you're looking so closely at it. But in my interpretation of it, I think it reflects what happened in their real life, which was in Mother I Sober, he says very transparently, like Whitney confronted him about his, you know, habitual adultery. He was cheating on her. And instead of, you know, just to her credit, being kind of this, I could see why he holds her so dearly, because she offers him help. You know, she asks him point blank, do you have an addiction? Is this, are you a sex addict? And Kendrick says no. And she gives him a number to a therapist. And in my interpretation, that's the moment that she walks away, because I mean, if you've had people in your life that are struggling with addiction, there is a point where you have to walk away until the person is, you know, ready to help themselves. And so narratively on the album, she disappears from the entire second disc. So she's kind of the voice of, she's the one kind of prodding Kendrick to tell the truth and trying to get him to therapy on disc one. And then the moment disc two starts and Kendrick does enter therapy, she disappears. And it's like, he kind of had to earn his way back, had to earn that trust and show her that he was serious about really transforming and healing. And it's such a beautiful moment that because she does disappear, and especially when you know that, when she returns at the end of Mother Eyes Sober after what you mentioned, which is just one of the most powerful and most vulnerable songs that has ever been recorded in the history of music. She returns, we hear his daughter, and it's like just one of the most beautiful things ever captured in art. I think that moment, especially if you're a parent, man, it breaks me every time.
And you, man, you set that up so beautifully for the fact I asked my partner, I asked her to listen to Pimp a Butterfly in its totality before we went to the GNX tour in Las Vegas. And she's familiar with Kendrick Lamar. She works in pop radio. Obviously, she knows exactly who Kendrick Lamar is. But I said, I want you to listen to this like it's a piece of art rather than a piece of music. And she did. Right. She sat down one day and she listened to the entire thing. And the first question she asked me was Kendrick Lamar abused? Mm. And I thought that was such an interesting takeaway, and I knew exactly where she got it from. And then I pointed her directly to Mother Eyes Sober. And when Whitney asked him, do you have it? Are you a sex addict? And he says no. And then you fast forward to Mother Eyes Sober, and he's talking about, they asked if your cousin touched you or whatever it was, and I kept saying no. I kept thinking, is he lying? Like, is that his way of telling us, like, yes? And I'm with Kendrick, you can't listen to anything on the surface. You like listen to it and you try to piece all of this stuff together, and that's probably overthinking. But when you brought up the Whitney line, it reminded me, like, oh, that was the first thing she said when she listened to Pimp a Butterfly. And I think it's just such a fascinating, you know, dichotomy. And you have these, you know, this year has been about, the last 2 years have been about Kendrick versus Drake, and it's such a difference in the way you make music. Like,
yeah,
one's not right and one's not wrong. They're just very, very different, and you see why they butt heads. You have one talking about, you know, abuse and sex addiction and, you know, losing my, you know, my fiance, my long-term partner. And then you have another one talking about, you know, bend that ass over, let that breathe. Like, and again, there's nothing wrong with it. It's just, they serve two different audiences, but it's such a fascinating contrast into the way music can be made amongst two massive stars.
Yeah, I mean, the beef was interesting, kind of philosophically, you know, in terms of, like, I feel like Kendrick was really, the reason why he engaged, in my opinion, was to kind of draw a line in the sand, and he was wrestling, essentially wrestling for the soul of hip hop, you know. And hip hop has kind of splintered in two different directions. It's always had this kind of divide and layers to it, like every great genre does. But recently, it does feel like we are getting more Drake, more of the Drake type of side of the Venn diagram than the Kendrick side. And I think part of this mission, Kendrick's mission this year, starting with Drake, but also everything he's done since the battle. You know, even going to like the Super Bowl performance and him choosing to rap, you know, he didn't play the hits. There wasn't a lot of melody at all, in the Super Bowl performance. He just went in front of 130 million people and rapped his ass off for 13 minutes straight. And I think part of that was symbolic in terms of, like, let me draw you back to the roots of this thing. The art form, and he said this directly, he wanted it to kind of shine a light on the art form of hip hop. And that goes back to just rapping, kind of put everything else to the side, put all the accolades to the side, the sales, the hits, everything. Let's take it back to its essence, you know? And so that was definitely one of the interesting things about the battle, was the way it, and even in the year since, it's like that line in the sand has been drawn. Not to say you can't enjoy both, but I think what he was trying to highlight, that there is a difference and there is tradition to this thing that we love. And it can't all be fun and games. You know, there has to be some soul and some heart to this genre that we all love. And it can't just be ear candy, you know. This is an art form, and we need to respect it as such.
GNX felt like a departure from previous Kendrick Lamar albums. But there's a fair argument that album, and obviously, you know, Not Like Us and everything that went along with the Drake stuff, launched him into a level of superstardom we hadn't seen before from Kendrick Lamar. Kendrick Lamar, as I'm sure you were well aware, Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers, that was a Golden One Center tour. Damn, that was a Golden One Center tour. Those days are over. Like, those days are done. GNX, that was Oracle Park. That was Allegiant Stadium. That was multiple days at SoFi. What did you think of GNX? Did you feel, did that album, you know, live up to the rest of them despite its departure? Did you feel like it was a necessary evil? Where did you land with Dot's latest?
Really enjoy it. It's one I listen to the most, you know. If I, you know, on my personal rankings list, it's probably on the lower side, but the one, if my rankings of what I listen to the most, it's probably on the higher side, which is the brilliance of Kendrick is that he can do both and he can do both so well. So what I really enjoyed about GNX was like there was a freedom to it, and like the work of Mr. Morale, I think, is set up everything that we have seen since. You know, I don't think you get a GNX without Mr. Morale. I don't think you get a Drake battle without Mr. Morale. That personal healing and the liberation that he talks about, that transformation he talks about on Mother I Sober, and kind of getting this weight off his shoulders that he's been harboring for years. Not to say that he's like fully healed or whatever, but you could tell he did just a lot of work through that album and through that period of his life. So to come back with GNX, that is essentially the flip side of the coin in every single way. I really enjoyed it. I like hearing Kendrick have fun. I like Kendrick just kind of rapping, focusing on just the bars. There isn't like a crazy narrative or concept on GNX. You know, it's pretty straightforward.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people compare it to a mixtape, which I think was part if there is a concept, it is something like a mixtape that you play.
Which a lot of people thought it was. Like, I remember when the album came out, they were like, oh, I think this is a mixtape. It's not the real album.
Yeah, because when it is a Kendrick Lamar, he set the precedent so high in terms of conceptual work that it's like we're looking for all those things. And when they aren't there, we're like, oh, is this just a lesser work, quote unquote? But I think we've had enough time with it to know that it is, I think it is an album. And I personally would love to hear another. I would love to hear another GNX style album next. I don't think he needs to go high concept. I love to him for him to return to that at some point, but I like the bangers just as much as I like a Mother I Sober. You know,
it's an evolution of an artist, and that's a beautiful thing to watch. Is there an album you haven't done that you really want to do?
Yeah, that's kind of that's the thought process next. You know, like I haven't really thought about the next season of Dissect. There's a lot of albums and pieces of music that I would like to do, but they don't quite fit the box of Dissect, if that makes sense. I kind of position myself in a certain demographic in a certain area of music. But I would love to do, like I did a Radiohead season. I would love to do another Radiohead season. Trying to think off the top of my head. JID is someone I've been paying close attention to. I'm not sure if you're familiar with his music, but he has a great album called The Forever Story. That's kind of been on the short list for a while. I don't know. Do you have any suggestions? Anything you want me to do?
So no, that's funny. One album I always talk about that the album that changed the way I listened to music was Ready to Die. The 1994 classic from Biggie changed it. That was the because we talk a lot about, you know, obviously we have this show here, but you know, we do the afternoon show on 102.5, so we're locked into like all of the new music that comes out. We've got to pay attention to all of that stuff. And Ready to Die was the first album, even like I think I was 13 when that album came out. It was the first time where I understood, like, okay, put the album in, hit play, and then let it go to the end. Don't go straight to Big Papa. Don't go straight to Juicy. Don't catch up late.
Right.
Hit play and let the album play through. And that was the album that taught me the art of music, because mm-hmm. I always describe Ready to Die as cinema. It's a movie. It has a beginning, it has a middle, and it has a very, very definitive end. And I don't know how much that could be broken down, but I know, like, in terms of importance to me, as much as I love, you know, the Kendrick Lamar albums, and they'll probably rank 4 out of my top 5, Ready to Die will always be number 1 because of the importance it had on my life and the way I listen to music. If it wasn't for Ready to Die, I wouldn't listen to To Pimp a Butterfly the way that I do. I wouldn't have gotten, like, the reveal at the end of To Pimp a Butterfly is the greatest thing in the history of music. And, like, it's just incredible.
Crazy.
And, you know, Good Kid, Mad City, it's a whole story. I wouldn't understand that if it wasn't for Big.
Yeah, I had that album too when I was a kid. That was one of my first CDs. I didn't understand it. I was too young to understand what was going on at the time. But yeah, I've always been drawn to hip hop, even as a small kid, for whatever reason. I have some very vivid memories of, like, some of the skits on that album.
Yeah,
more explicit skits when I was like 10 years old. I was like, what does that sound?
Learn to skip those. Yeah. Just move past those skits. Yeah. But whatever you do next, know that I'm locked in. We're locked in. We'd love to have you back on this show anytime, but I am a huge, huge fan of your work, and have been hoping to have this conversation with you for the better part of 5 years now. So awesome. I'm appreciative, my man. Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate all your work too. Like I said, I'm a huge Kings fan, so I'm very tapped in to what you guys are doing, what Deuce and Mo is doing, you know, all the I'm that locked in to a season ticket holder for like 6 years now. So I'm tapped in. So appreciate your work too.
Indeed, my brother. We'll get through the heartache together, my man.
Yeah.
We'll get through the heartache sure, together. Man. Thanks, Cole. Appreciate
you. Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it.
Yes, sir. That's Cole Kushner, man. Dissect Podcast. What, again, if that was your introduction to Cole and the Dissect Podcast, go subscribe right now. It is incredible work. Start with To Pimp a Butterfly. If you're a Kendrick Lamar fan, To Pimp a Butterfly is on there. He's got Damn. He just finished Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers. He did episodes on Lemonade. He did some episodes on Mac Miller, or some seasons on Mac Miller. And he's also got, like, he did an episode on the Super Bowl performance. He did a separate episode on Kanye. Like, it's just a great, great podcast. So go subscribe wherever you get podcasts from. Hang out. We'll come back. We'll reset. We'll get back to doing what we do. Trista Crick will be with us at the top of the hour here on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 13.
Epic views, waterfall mists, summit sunsets. It's all better outside. And with All Trails, you can discover the best of nature with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today and find your next adventure.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, ESW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
20. Shout out to our people over at Baker Family Wines, the newest partner in official winery of D'Lo and KC. And shout out to all those boys in the Home Run Derby last night who wore number 44. And we got the perfect wine for the Major League Baseball All-Star festivities. And it's 7:55. It is my favorite. It is a Cabernet, and I love cabs. If you catch me out at Q, if you catch me out at Baker Family Wines in West Sacramento, you're going to catch me ordering one of these reds. You're going to catch me ordering one of these cabs right here, man. Head over to BakerFamilyWines.com right now. You can visit the tasting room in West Sacramento. Join Dusty's Clubhouse for exclusive releases and tasting room specials and save your beautiful, balanced, European-inspired wines made for true fans. This is Dusty Baker's winery. Dusty is all in on this. It's not his name. It's not a baseball stitch slapped on a logo. It's not, hey, Dusty, we're going to run this winery and we want to put your name on it. Dusty Baker is involved in every single aspect of this winery. His passion that he had for baseball, he has just translated to a passion for wines. And all of these wines, for those that are watching that you see lined up behind me, these are all different, from the whites to the reds to the rosés. They got it all over at Baker Family Wines. Again, head over to BakerFamilyWines.com. Join Dusty's Clubhouse for exclusive releases and go visit the tasting room in West Sacramento. I promise we're going to have an event there sometime over the next couple of months. And shout out to all of those boys who were wearing number 44 last night during the All-Star game. And shout out to my boy. Y'all suck. Cal Raleigh got it done. Cal Raleigh, of course, of my Seattle Mariners. Saw Cal hit a couple of home runs over the 4th of July weekend. My brother took me and Katie with his season tickets to T-Mobile Park. We saw him hit one that they said was measured at 402. It didn't look anything less than 602. And then he hit a second one, I think, in the sixth or seventh inning. But it was awesome to see his power on display in person, and he gets the crown for the Home Run Derby last night. It's cool seeing everybody rock the number 44 as well for Hammer and Hank. I like Cal, man. I wonder if the list of baseball. Yeah, I want to be clear. I don't necessarily love Cal's nickname and won't be referring to him as that anytime soon. But still, Cal Raleigh is my guy. And I wonder, as Trista Crick's going to join us here in just a couple of minutes, if the list of baseball stars is getting a little bit longer. Like, there's the tippy top, right, with Shohei and Aaron Judge. Like, that's the list. It's Shohei and it's Aaron Judge. Those are the, well, forgive me, but to steal a term from the NBA playoffs, those are the superstars. Not only are they those two superstars, those are kind of like household name superstars. And then you probably got Tatis kind of next on that list. And I wonder, as you start to look around and you see the Cal Raleighs and the, you know, maybe even the Denzel Clarks, you start to see some of these really exciting ball players and wonder, man, is that the next crop of superstars in Major League Baseball? Again, they're not Aaron Judge. They're not Shohei Ohtani, but the league needs superstars. The league needs stars to turn into superstars. And I wonder if I wonder if we're finally starting to see that.
I think we are. They're finally, like, there was a period, I think, where, like, when we first started the show, all we talked about was just, they don't promote the younger guys anything like that. Like, I think they're finally coming out the other side of that. Like, your guys like Cal Raleigh and just the younger players now, it's like we all know about them.
And that, like, that's good for everybody.
Yeah.
That's a win for Major League Baseball. It's a win for Major League Baseball fans. And it's a win for sports fans. And that's so desperately what baseball is needed. I think I told the story after getting back from Seattle that Katie asked me as we're, you know, sitting at T-Mobile Park, are there guys like LeBron James in baseball, like the LeBrons or, you know, Patrick Mahomes? Are there those guys in baseball? I was like, well, there's really only two. And it's Shohei and it's Aaron Judge, and there used to be a lot more. There used to be guys like, and I you know, started talking through this Ken Griffey Jr. analogy where I feel like people grew up with Ken Griffey Jr., but there was never another star like him. There was never another young star to come in. And I know, you know, Bryce was huge. Ken Griffey Jr., I feel like he brought people in. The 18-year-old kid, 17-year-old kid, whatever he was, I feel like he brought people in. Bryce was a massive star, but did Bryce bring in new fans? Like the Strasburg thing. I remember the Strasburg hype was insane.
I don't know if Bryce brought in new fans, but Bryce was like one, like, you got to watch him, I guess. I don't know if it's like just baseball fans were more tapped in, or like he had the casuals as well. But like Bryce was just talked about like as if he was this phenom, was like just this alien type player.
Yeah, Bryce yeah, when that Chosen One cover dropped, yeah, Bryce might have brought in the casuals.
Yeah, because I know, like, sure, baseball fans, we were like, oh yeah, this is the next big thing or whatever. Shout out to Redacted. But
can you, Jesse, can you see if you can pull up, I don't know how to tell you what to look for, can you see if you can grab the clip of Pat McAfee and Dave Roberts talking about being asked that question about voter suppression yesterday? I thought it was hilarious, because essentially this young lady asked Dave Roberts a question. If you remember the 2021 Atlanta All-Star game, or the 2021 NBA All-Star game was scheduled for Atlanta, and Rob Manfred, Major League Baseball, took a stance and said, you know, we're not really in favor of these laws that are passing that make voting so much more difficult. And, you know, maybe we'll revisit coming back to Atlanta at a different time. And Dave Roberts at the time, now, it's important to point out, this is 2021. Dave Roberts at the time was like, yeah, I might forego the honor of being the National League manager if these laws don't change. Jesse has this clip pulled up. How long?
3-minute clip. I don't know if starts up with the question here.
Yeah. So if you could, like, scroll ahead. So it does start with the question. The funny thing is, she asked the question. She asks it very, very clearly. Pat McAfee looks at her confused and asks her to repeat the entire question.
Don't we leave it here?
No. Scroll maybe like, yeah, try running it from right there, wherever that's at. We'll run it right there and see if this is the start of the second ask of the question. But watching Pat McAfee and Dave Roberts,
we were actually talking about that. Can you re-say what you said there?
And you hear the crowd murmuring.
Here in Atlanta, that is a voter suppression law that Joe Biden has called Jim Crow of the 21st century. Dave, in 2021, in the MLB Network special, you said it's about being relentless with our voices and speaking up. And this is not an isolated moment, and it needs to be something talked about on an ongoing basis and being relentless with it. What happened to being relentless with our voices? And why are we in Atlanta when this law is still on the books? And it is a dangerous situation to be a journalist in Atlanta, because Atlanta has detained the most journalists by ICE.
So you can hit pause right there, because again, Pat McAfee just stumbles his way through this, and I guess we can let him try to go ahead, hit play one more time, Jesse.
Question about laws that are on the books and everything like that.
Okay, yeah, this isn't going to translate. You can kill this. I wanted you to hear the question, because Dave Roberts tries to answer, Pat McAfee clearly tries to answer, and I want to point out the laws haven't changed. the laws in Georgia have not changed, and you actually make the argument they've gotten stricter. So voter suppression in Georgia has gotten stronger since 2021. And here's the uncomfortable part about activism and taking a stand. Here's the uncomfortable part about Dave Roberts and his, nah, I wouldn't feel comfortable doing that. I would consider foregoing the honor of being the National League manager if the Major League Baseball game was in Atlanta, the Major League Baseball All-Star game was in Atlanta. When you're a part-time activist, everybody forgets. And that's essentially what we were looking at. You could change the word part-time activist to performance activism. And I think that was a lot of what we saw in 2021. In fact, I don't think that's a lot of what we saw. It is what we saw. DEI departments being disbanded at the behest of this administration. No one cares. They don't care anymore. Why? Well, because it's not in your face like it was in 2020.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.